It's Larry Nassar's first week in his new home, a high-security federal prison in Arizona. As the Olympic gymnastics doctor with a practice at Michigan State University, Nassar abused hundreds of patients under the guise of treatment, often while their parents were in the room.
It was unimaginable and hard for me to understand when I first heard it. Like, how could you have that happen and not know? Until I found out it happened and I didn't know.
As Michigan Radio's Kate Wells reports, these parents are still asking themselves how this could happen. And a warning, this story contains disturbing content.
At first, Deb McCall could not get her mind around how parents could have missed this. Her daughter, Morgan, is 18. She's a ballet dancer. She saw Nassar about 15 different times for treatment. And when the first accusations against Nassar started slowly coming out in the fall of 2016, Morgan insisted to her parents that she had been spared any abuse. Until Nassar was arrested for possessing tens of thousands of images of child pornography.
The day that I told her that he had been arrested for pornography, I saw something change in her. And it was maybe 2 weeks later that she told me that he had done that stuff to her as well.
And that was when McCall realized two things. First, she suddenly understood the breakdown Morgan experienced months before when her funny, brilliant kid with a 4.0 GPA became so paralyzed with anxiety attacks that some days she couldn't even leave her room. And second, it hit McCall that not only had her daughter been abused, she, McCall, had been sitting just a few feet away, chatting politely with Nassar the whole time.
I wasn't somebody who was, like, nose in my phone or in a magazine or a book. Whenever Larry was doing something that I knew was in that area, I would get up and go stand by the table.
McCall says Nassar would then have Morgan flip over onto her stomach, and he'd lean over and massage her back with his forearm. McCall assumed that he was using his other arm to brace himself against the table.
But I couldn't see that part of it, but I had no reason to question it either.
We were all guilty of not knowing. Shame on us, yes, but unless you were there, you can't understand.
This is Ted. His daughter was also abused by Larry Nassar, and Ted's daughter still wants to remain anonymous, so we're not going to use their last name. Ted took his daughter to see Nassar maybe 30, 40 times. He always sat in the treatment room talking with Nassar about their kids or their mutual love of a good cigar. And sometimes Nassar would block Ted's view, either by standing between Ted and his daughter or draping a towel over the patient, chatting away the whole time. And even today, Ted says he does not have a good answer when he overhears people at work who don't know about his daughter asking each other, how could those parents not know?
I will try to find the answer for the rest of my life. I don't think I ever will. I just can't imagine how we could not see anything after so many dozens and dozens of visits.
Parents like Deb McCall and Ted have been meeting each other these last few weeks. At Nassar's criminal sentencing, Ted says, suddenly he was surrounded by other dads and moms who understood.
And just during breaks, during lunch hour, after the sentencing, just talking to one another and especially hugging one another, it helped tremendously.
At that final criminal sentencing, the lead prosecutor, Assistant Attorney General Angela Povilaitis, had some words for those who blame the parents.
Perhaps the people who parent shame and blame, who post comments online about the parents, or call into radio shows to talk about the parents, perhaps what those people are trying to do is to distance themselves so that they can believe it couldn't and wouldn't happen to them. But it could.
There's a push right now to get a support group started for these parents, some way for them to get together again, talk, and maybe one day believe that they are not the ones to blame. I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.